I had to wear a long skirt so you wouldn't see my knees knocking up here today. Y'all may not believe it, but getting up here and speaking in front of you is like one of the scariest things I have to do every so often up here. I think I have about wrenched this poor Kleenex in my hand. It's true. Well, thank you so much. I was asked a while ago if I would talk today, and I say talk. I'm not preaching, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a minister. I am you. And so I'm just up here, we're having a conversation today. And George started our Pops series a while back, so we figured, well, I could do that. I can do my Pops series. And what I want to talk to you today about is love. How you're loved. How I'm loved. It's such a small word, love. Just those four simple letters. L-O-V-E. Love. But it encompasses so much in our lives. It's a feeling. But it's more than a feeling. It's also used as an adjective sometimes to describe things like, I love sunshine, which I have not seen much of lately. And I love football season. Love my Colts. I love my Boilermakers. I know some of you may not love my Boilermakers, but I love my Boilermakers. I love a good cheeseburger at Sidebar. I love my husband. I love my kids. I love my church, my family. You are all my family, and I love you. But mostly what love is, it's a gift. It's a gift we receive from God. Do you remember the first time that somebody other than your family said those words to you? I love you. Summer and Mike are sharing in their love now as we've just heard that they're going to be getting married. See, I remember the first time that Michael spoke those words to me. Nearly 26 years ago. And we were at Purdue, probably why I love Purdue so much. And we were watching a movie, and he just kind of whispered in my ear, and he said, I love you. And I think I just froze there for a moment, was like, did I hear that? Can you repeat that? And I think all these electrodes went off in my brain, and I was like, how am I supposed to focus on this movie now with what he just said to me? And if you know my husband, he just kindly just like slides that in and just kind of keeps going then. You know, he just keeps going, and it's like, oh, it's no big deal. I love you, by the way. So 5 years later, we start planning our wedding. And if he was here, he'd probably sitting back there going, she would say 5 long years. And yes, at times it was 5 long years, but we got there. Now see, we never did church together before we got married. I was living in Indianapolis. Michael was living in West Lafayette for a while, and then he moved to the Caribbean. He was living in St. Croix. We couldn't really be doing much together. But when it came time to get married, gosh, I knew where I wanted that to be. See, I grew up in the church. From the time that I was 10 years old, I went to the same church until I moved away after my wedding. I grew up in Castleton, and I attended Castleton United Methodist Church. And as I was working on this message, on this talk to share with you today, there were so many people that came to my mind of how they loved me growing up. There was the wonderful minister who married us, Pastor Chuck. In fact, the day of our wedding, he scared Michael because he went to him. And I didn't even know this till afterwards. And Michael shared it with me at the reception. He takes Michael aside and he says to him very seriously, now you take care of her. Don't you hurt her. You know, that was my minister. And then there was Esther in our church. She was a lay leader who later went on to become a minister, and she actually served here in Corydon until she unexpectedly passed. And then I thought of my sixth grade confirmation leaders, Chuck and Mim. Oh my gosh, Chuck and Mim were wonderful. They were an older couple. Their children were grown, had their own families, and Chuck and Mim, they took us in for that year, and they opened their homes to us, and we became their children. They loved us. They loved us. And then in high school, there was our youth leader, Kathy. She was our youth minister, and I would babysit for her children. And I thought of that this week, and I thought of how now my daughter, Alexis, babysits for George and Jenny. And gosh, how wonderful that made my heart feel when I thought about that, about how where we've come. You know, Kathy loved me. And you know, she took care of me through some difficult times. So when it came time to marry, that's where I wanted to be. I wanted to be in that family, in where I knew that love was there. And that, I think that was the first thing I did, was call the church and say, when can I book my wedding? In fact, after I booked it, they realized they double booked. So we had two weddings there that day. We made it work. But then as we were planning the wedding, you know, we wanted scripture read. We wanted scripture to be part of our wedding. You know, when Michael and I were planning the wedding, or really, you know, I was the bride, I was planning the wedding. The groomsman was just, you know, the groom was just like, yes, dear, whatever you want, dear. Just tell me, you know, what to wear, when to be there. But I wanted God's word to be a part of our wedding. And we both did. And the scripture that we both came up with was 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to read that to you now. And what the verses that I share with you today are from the NIV, not the NLT. And you can read along if you have your Bibles, or you can just listen. When I get up here, I don't put anything up there for you. There's no handouts, that you can just take in God's word and just listen and write your own notes. But this is what 1 Corinthians 13 says to us. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels and have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. We had Michael's grandfather read that at our wedding. Grandma and Grandpa Moody were married for over 60 years before they passed. Their marriage was an example to Michael and I of what we wanted. We're a third of the way there and still going. Like that Energizer Bunny, we're still going. But see, I've thought of these words over the years. We will be married for 21 years this October. We have three children now. Alexis entering her senior year of high school. Eli's in his last year of middle school. And Rebecca's just starting middle school. And see, now I think these words from 1 Corinthians, these are not just words that I am to be as a wife. But these are words for every aspect of my life. A wife, a mother, a daughter, a sister, a friend, a co-worker. This scripture is how we are supposed to live. Live. See, we've been called to love our neighbor. I don't know if we do a very good job of that. As I've thought about that these last few weeks, as I have read the scripture over and over, and then I think about my life, and I think about my actions and my behavior, and do I do what it says to do? And I don't think so. I'm not always so good at that. Love is patient. I have three crazy children. I cannot say that I am very patient some days, as my son's eyes got really big and goes, "Oh, yes, mother, you are correct on that one." But love is patient. Love is kind. It's not rude. It is not easily angered. That's the one I think that has stuck with me these last few weeks. It's not easily angered. I have to admit to you, there are days where my anger level can go from 0 to 100 in a flat 5 seconds. And as I thought of that, I thought of, Michael has this Mustang at home. Some of you might like to ride in his Mustang. I don't. When I get in that car, my anxiety level just goes, oh! And it's not him that I'm worried about. It's just it's something about that car because it's very fast. I mean, it is fast. And if you know my husband, he likes things fast. Flies airplanes, Mustangs, motorcycles, race cars. It's fast. Well, I get in there and I'm like, oh my gosh, just let me out. But I thought of that. I thought of that anxiety and just thinking about it right now, my stomach's like, I feel like I'm on a roller coaster. But then I thought, I wonder if that is how God feels sometimes when he's watching us and he sees our anger and our not-so-kind days, and our not-so-patient days, is he sitting there going, oh, gosh, why? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Because here's the thing. God loves us. I mean, he loves us. Jonathan and I did not talk this week about what I was going to talk about today, and the first song we sang, your love never fails, your love never changes. He loves us. I get goosebumps when I really resonate those words into my heart and in my mind and in my spirit because he loves us. You know, Psalm 103 verses 8 through 14 tell us that the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. I think of the stories, you know, the Bible is our playbook. This is how we're supposed to live our life. And he shows us example and an example and example in here. And as I was thinking this week about love, I thought of when Moses brought all the people through. And they're going to the promised land. And God spends 40 years with them, preparing them. I don't know about you, but some days I don't give my children 40 minutes to pay attention, much less 40 years. But 40 years! And he was with them that whole time. He didn't give up on them. How easily do we give up on people? You know, there are people that come into my path that I'm like, I don't have time for that. But I'm supposed to. Because see, it goes back to love is. It's not love is this if we do this. It's simply love is. There's no qualifiers. There's no conditions to it. Yet unfortunately, we put conditions on it for others. I'll love you if you'll listen to me, if you'll let my ways come first. I'll love you if we do this and not that. But see, that's not what God tells us. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Oh, that one hurts, doesn't it? That one hurts. When you've gone through a rocky time with someone, don't you like to pull out that scab and not let it heal? We're really good at that. We're really good at saying, you know what? You did this and this and this to me. So how do I know you're not going to do it again? We don't. But we're not supposed to keep the records. Because think of everything that we do and God's up there going, do you want to see the tally sheet? I don't think we do. I don't. But he doesn't keep a tally sheet. And we shouldn't either. Y'all are going to embark on a new life together, and let me be the first to tell you, it's not easy. Okay? Anybody who tells you that marriage is easy, it's not. They're not telling you the truth. You've got to work at this. We have to work at relationships. We have to work at being family together. Just because we're all here together doesn't mean we're not going to have our differences. Doesn't mean we're not going to have bad days and good days and days in between. You know, George last week talked about obstacles. Obstacles that get in the way of our faith. I think sometimes we are our biggest obstacle. We get in our way of our faith by not following our playbook. We get caught up in what's going on outside those doors. Media. Gossip. Media. Gossip. I think I could just say those two things over and over. Society. We kind of push this off to the side and say, yeah, it's important, but I need to deal with all this. No, this needs to come first. This needs to be our focus. You know, we've got young people getting ready to go back to school. We need to be praying for them. for the choices that they're making. We need to pray for you while you're here trying to figure out what it is you want to do. And that's okay. There are many adults who don't know what they want to do. And that's okay. But see, we need to share our stories. We need to share our joy and our sadness and our uncertainties and our bad days. You know, it's so easy to go up, how you doing today? Oh, I'm good. Okay, good, good. And we just kind of keep on going. But that's not what love is. Love is getting messy. It's being there through the good, the bad, and the ugly, through the obstacles and the opportunities that come before us each and every day. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I thank God. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to thank you for the opportunities and the obstacles that are being put before me today, because definitely there are both. So use me. However that is. And some days there's a lot more obstacles than there are opportunities. But see, God, he clothes us with what we need. Because in Colossians 3, 12 through 14, it reads, therefore, as God's chosen people, you are chosen because he loves you. He loves you. Holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. There's that word again, patience. Bear with each other and give whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Perfect. Perfect. God makes it perfect. See, we are to wear love each and every day, every moment of every day, we are to wear love. And that's by the kindness and the compassion and the not being rude and not getting angry. That is what love is. That is what love is. And each day we have an opportunity to start fresh. You know, when Alexis was little, she would come in our rooms first thing in the morning. As soon as that sun was out, she'd flip that blind back and she'd say, Mama, it's a brand new day. And some days I didn't like those brand new days, but I'd be like, okay, thank you. But it is, it's a brand new day with the Lord as your Father. It is a day to go and rejoice and to give and to understand that love is more than that gushy feeling that you get about somebody. I mean, really, it's hard work, okay? It is hard. I feel like I just have to say that to you too today. It is hard work, but you can do it, and you will do it, and you will do it when you put this first. It's not putting me first. It's putting this first and then that other person. We are to be last. We are to go out and serve through love. It is our greatest story, our love story. God loves us. He loves us. Even when I say it, I say it differently than I say it any other way, because God loves us. He knows we're going to mess up. And he loves us. His love never fails. It never changes. It is always there It's always there for you. He is always right here. You know, Hillsong United has a song out right now, Touch the Sky. I love this song. I love it. Love it. I love it. If I can just find it. I've lost it. There it is. And it talks about how I touch the sky when my knees hit the ground. Okay? This is our love. This right here. This is love. And you know what? God is reaching. He's grabbing a hold of us. He's got us. You know, think about when these little kiddos are little. They surrender to us. They need us to pick them up because they can't do it. Well, guess what? God's there to pick us up. And all we have to do is get down and say, God, I surrender. I am yours. And he will do amazing things. I cannot keep getting up and down, though. Everything I am, reaching out, I surrender. Come sweep me up in your love again. That's what that song says. I love that song. Touch the sky. I touch the sky when my knees hit the ground. That's what we need to do. We need to come to him each and every day, every moment of every day. If you ever pass me, I'm talking to myself in the car all the time, and I'm usually talking to him. But that's what he wants. He wants to be in relationship. He is our Father. He loves you. And he wants you to share that love. Not just with the people inside this building, but through those doors. The people you come in contact with at work, at the grocery store, at school, wherever that might be. You know, a few years back, I was at a women's conference, and Jenny, you were there, and we heard a speaker talk about how her son was playing soccer, and she screamed, "Go be the sunshine!" And just, you know, embarrassed everything out of him. Well, every morning now when my children leave for school, Eli's rolling his eyeballs because he knows what's coming. I say, go be the sunshine. Go be the sunshine. Now, I am often met with those rolled eyeballs or scowled looks or things like that. But I have one child. I will not name her, but she's so precious because she'll be like, if I forget, she'll be like, Mama, did you forget something today? Did you forget to tell me something? I'll say, go be the sunshine. Because that's what love is. It's being the sunshine. It's being God's light in this world of darkness. So when you leave here today, go be. And you know what? There's sunshine out there right now. I can see it. Oh my gosh, praise God, there's sunshine. But go be that sunshine. When those dark clouds and those thunderstorms are coming back again today, because you know they'll be here, go be the sunshine in someone's life. Be the sunshine in your kids' lives, in your spouse's life. It's hard, I know. But nobody said it was going to be easy, and if they did, they were wrong. But the more we do it, the more we love the way God wants us to love, I think it does become easier. It may look funny to those who don't believe. They might think you're kind of strange. And how could you be so positive? But you can do it. One foot in front of the other. Get down on your knees. Put your hands up to God. And just surrender to him. Because he loves you. He loves you. And he wants you to share this amazing gift that we've been given. So go and share. That's all I have for today. So why don't we pray?